I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. When a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer, it can be very difficult to know what her first step should be in dealing with the disease. This morning, Marianne Zalesnik talks with author of the Breast Cancer Survival Manual, Dr. John Link. He says, don't rush to make any decisions. You have some time to decide the best course of action.
Good morning, Dr. Link. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Your book is very interesting because it gives so much information related to breast cancer, but it's really designed for women who have been newly diagnosed. And for someone who has just been diagnosed with breast cancer, what's the first piece of advice that you have?
Well, the first piece of advice is, you know, you've got some time, so you don't have to make, you know, crash decisions. And in fact, we require women to make a couple of decisions around their treatment, and they really do need time to become informed and to understand their particular breast cancer and what the optimal treatment plan is going to be. So, you know, my advice is don't panic. That close to 90% of women are cured with breast cancer today. A tendency women have is to make decisions which involve over-treatment. And one of the things I emphasize in the book is that things have changed dramatically in the last 5 years. And with new genomic testing, we now can spare many women chemotherapy. The surgery that we do is often much less invasive. We're removing much less lymph nodes. So, you know, it's not the disease, it's not the treatment that it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
It's interesting, and you said it, and I remember reading it in the book, the idea that you don't have an immediate decision to make. And I think a lot of people, when they become diagnosed, say they want to do something right now so it doesn't spread. Why do they have time? I'm surprised about that.
Well, breast cancer is, for the most part, you know, it's a heterogeneous disease, meaning that it's not a single disease that looks the same under the microscope. And a vast majority of breast cancers are fairly slow growing. So one has 2 to 3 to 4 weeks to really develop a plan that can be very important as far as the rest of your life. Because if you make rash decisions and become overtreated, it may affect, you know, the quality of your life. So we feel that taking 2 weeks or so for most breast cancers makes a very little or no difference at all. And in fact, you know, developing the right treatment plan supersedes that.
Now, you talk a lot about how the disease can be very different in different women, and the women themselves have so many differences. How do you even go about coming up with the right kind of plan? What kinds of things should women be looking at?
Well, again, the breast cancer that a woman has needs to be kind of fingerprinted. We need to know the genomic type, and there are four now classifications of breast cancer based on how the cancer appears under the microscope and the receptors on the cell surface and the actual genes. And then we look at the stage of the breast cancer, i.e. has how big it is, if it's spread to lymph nodes that we can detect. And then we plan a therapy plan that involves local control, meaning that we take care of the cancer in the breast and make it go away and never come back. And then we have to assess whether there's any risk of cells having escaped. And if that's the case, then we need to plan appropriately and treat the whole system. And we're doing that less and less because we know that many, many breast cancers don't spread into the bloodstream based on new genomic testing.
So that testing, it really must be making a difference. You know, your book, this is the fifth edition, and it sounds like there really have been a lot of changes since you wrote the first edition.
Right. So, you know, the last edition, which was 4 years ago, there was no mention of this new classification. There was no mention of this analysis of the 70 genes that are measured to see what the risk is of spreading. We're now doing nipple and skin-sparing mastectomies for women that require a mastectomy or that do mastectomies because of positive hereditary family histories. The radiation that we use is also different. We're doing intraoperative radiation at the time of surgery, etc. accelerated radiation. The old methods involved usually 5 or 6 weeks of going in every day, Monday through Friday. That has changed. So, you know, in all facets of diagnosis and treatment, things have changed.
Once a woman does take the time, makes the decision, comes up with the plan, what should they expect next? What kinds of side effects might they have? What types of things do you tell them to prepare for?
Well, it really depends, Marianne, on what that plan is. So if it's an early breast cancer found on a mammogram that's going to require a lumpectomy and limited radiation, that woman may or may not go on 5 years of tamoxifen or hormonal therapy. And we go through the risk benefits of the different hormone therapies. If she's younger and and it's a more aggressive cancer, it may require treatment with a targeted therapy like Herceptin. And then we prepare the woman, you know, what are the potential side effects of that? A lot is dependent on age also. Young women that get breast cancer, many of them still are childbearing and really want to have a family. So that needs to be taken into consideration.
And so is that still possible? I mean, do people with breast cancer go on to have successful pregnancies?
Yes. I probably have 150, 200 children that have been born into my patients after breast cancer. So, yes, that is something that's quite critical. And the hereditary type breast cancer syndromes, the women that carry this so-called BRCA1 or BRCA2, many of those women develop breast cancer in their late 20s, early 30s. And with many women delaying having families, it's very important for them to get their treatment, get cured, and hopefully have their fertility preserved.
You talk about the family history and the genetics involved here. When you're treating a woman for breast cancer, are you also then asking to talk with her female relatives? Is there family treatment involved as well in case there is a history there?
Well, we take a very thorough family history, and if that involves women in her family that are younger, that have had breast cancer, that are first-degree relatives, meaning sister, mother, father, sister, or if there's been ovarian cancer in the family, those are red flags that there might be a genetic syndrome involved where a father or mother are passing a gene on that makes a woman more susceptible to breast cancer. But if a woman, she's the only one in her family, it's much more likely that this is what we call a sporadic case. Unfortunately, breast cancer is pretty prevalent. 1 in every 8, 1 in every 9 women are going to get it. The vast majority are not hereditary. They're sporadic. But we certainly want to identify those families that it runs in because then we can do better surveillance and sometimes even we do preventative surgery.
For example, a mastectomy.
In bilateral mastectomies for a gene carrier, the good news is that those mastectomies are much less deforming. They usually involve preserving the skin and nipples so that women actually look pretty normal, yet they've reduced their risk from 50 to 55% down to almost zero. So it's a big price to pay, but it's better than it used to be because of the superb surgery that's being done.
As we wrap up here, we have to address your last chapter, and that is life after cancer, which maybe, I don't even know if that was in your first book. So what do you say to women who've gotten through this? What is life after cancer?
Well, it's a journey that, of course, is unchosen, and those women, their lives are changed forever. I mean, the stark reality that their life is threatened and they have to go through this period of treatment and then they come out the other side, they're forever changed, and many times for the better. What we don't want to do is put unnecessary scars and give women unnecessary treatment that will make the quality of their life in the future not as good as it could be. So that's one of the big advances now, is that I think the treatment for breast cancer is less, it preserves quality much better than it used to.
Dr. Lang, thank you so much for talking with me.
Okay, thank you, Marian. Bye.
I've been talking with Dr. John Link. He's the author of the Breast Cancer Survival Manual. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Marianne Zalesnik.